إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، I welcome all of you. We continue reading from the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, al-Mulakhas fi sharhi Kitab al-Tawheed. Kitab al-Tawheed, the Shaykh al-Islam al-Mujaddid Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahu Allah ta'ala wa ghafara lahu wa liwalidayhi wa lil-muslimina wa al-muslimat. Ameen. The explanation of our noble Shaykh al-Allama al-Doktor صالح بن فوزان الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى ومتعه بالصحة والعافية وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. باب قول الله تعالى في سورة فصلت: ولئن أذقناه رحمة منا من بعد ضراء مسته ليقولن هذا لي. This is chapter 49, and the Shaykh mentioned the ayah 50 in Surah Fussilat. Mentioned the ayah, at part of it, but the Shaykh Salih Fawzan, he brought the whole ayah 50. قال الله تعالى: ولئن أذقناه رحمة منا من بعد ضراء مسته ليقولن هذا لي وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رجعت إلى ربي إن لي عنده للحسنى فلننبئن الذين كفروا بما عملوا ولنذيقنهم من عذاب غليظ. And truly, if we give him, mankind, a taste of mercy from us after some adversity, such as severe poverty or disease and the like has touched him, he is sure to say, "This is due to my merit. I think not that the hour will be established. But if I am brought back to my Lord, surely there will be for me the best wealth with him. Then we verily will show to the disbelievers what they have done, and we shall make them taste a severe torment." Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alayhi. قال مجاهد: هذا بعملي وأنا محقوق به. مجاهد says, and مجاهد first, who is مجاهد here? هو مجاهد بن جبر, one of the great scholars of Al-Islam, of the past, of the Salaf, from the Tabi'een. Mujahid ibn Jabr Abu al-Hajjaj al-Makhzumi Mawlahum al-Makki, thiqatun, imamun fi al-tafsir wa fi al-ulum, imamun fi al-tafsir wa fi al-ulum, min al-tabaqa thalitha. He died in a year 101 or 102 of the Hijrah. Some say 103, some ulama say 104. He is from Tabi'een, from the great Tabi'een, and from the great students of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, as this mentioned in Taqrib al-Tahdhib of the great scholar Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullahu ta'ala. So Mujahid said about this ayah, about this person here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about this in this ayah. He says, meaning, this is from my deeds and I deserve it, and I deserve it. وقال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما يريد من عندي. While Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, he meaning that which is with me, that person. For the ni'am that Allah gave a person, instead of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praising him for such things, person says, no, they deserve it. That's from them. Some say because of their skills. Some they say they inherited from their forefathers. And this and that. وقوله قال إنما أوتيته على علم عندي سورة القصص. As for the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qasas, verse 78, he says, it only came to me because of the knowledge with me. You can see it, there's another person that said, whatever they have is because of their knowledge. قال قتادة أي على علم مني بوجوه المكاسب. قتادة, he says, meaning from my knowledge of profiting, because this person has skills, like in a market and business and trades and the like. And Qatada, by the way, he is Qatada ibn Di'ama, ibn Qatada al-Sadusi, Abu al-Khattab al-Basri, was from Basra, Thiqatun Thabt, one of the great scholars. Not only ثقة but ثقة ثبت. يقال ولد أكمه وهو رأس الطبقة الرابعة. مات سنة 117 للهجرة تقريبا. Say he died on around 117 of the Hijra. 117. These are the great scholars of Islam. These are from the Tabi'een, those who learn from the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim. And they took knowledge from them, the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and they spent their lives teaching and disseminating this knowledge and calling to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقال آخرون على علم من الله أني له أهل. Other ulama, they said that from Allah's knowledge, I am the best who knows it. وهذا معنى قول مجاهد أوتيته على شرف. And this is the meaning of what مجاهد said, رحمه الله, it came to me out of honor. أي نعم. جزاك الله. على أي يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله مناسبة هذا الباب لكتاب التوحيد. Now he will tell us, I will read to you the relevance of this chapter to Kitab al-Tawheed. What this chapter has to do with Kitab al-Tawheed. قال بيان أن زعم الإنسان استحقاقه ما حصل له من النعم بعد الضراء مناف لكمال التوحيد. So that when a person claims that he deserves, and because of his skills or this or that, those ni'am and bounties and blessings that Allah has bestowed upon him after time of hardship, this go against the completion of Tawheed. This go against the completion of Tawheed. المعنى الإجمالي للآية, the general meaning of this ayah, يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله يخبر تعالى أن الإنسان في حال الضر يدرع إلى الله وينيب إليه ويدعوه, وأنه في حال اليسر والساعة يتغير حاله فينكر نعمة الله عليه ويعرض عن شكرها لزعمه أنه إنما حصلت له هذه النعمة بكده وكسبه وحوله وقوته. He says in this ayah, in Surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that man, in the times of difficulty and hardship, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Man turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, humble themselves, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invoke Allah, when? In the times of difficulty. You find a person going through any hardship, sickness, illness, there is trials around him, fighting, killing, chaos, or anything. He's going through some hardship, whether financially or anything. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. Constantly, now they're remembering Allah, they asking Allah. They turn to Allah, they become righteous, performing acts of worship. But he says in the times of ease, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make a way out for them, and they have what they wanted, they change. And they forget the ni'mah of Allah upon them. That what they enjoy now, and their ease, and the good they have and they enjoy it is from Allah. Allah has given it to them. They didn't have it a couple of days ago. Okay? Now they forget that. And they don't give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't thank Allah for that ni'mah. Why? Because this person thinks that whatever happened to him, it's because of his earnings, because of his skills, because of his efforts, because of his knowledge in that field, because of his strength. And they forget that actually a lot of people, they is more skillful than that, than him, more stronger than him, more connected than him, ain't nothing going on for them. Nothing. Because everything happened by Allah's will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال وأعظم من ذلك أنه ينفي قيام الساعة وزوال الدنيا ويقول إن قدر قيام الساعة فستستمر لي هذه الحالة الحسنة لأني أستحقها. So some people are even worse, والعياذ بالله. They even deny the establishment of the hour. And because of what they enjoy of the glitter in this life, they think that it's gonna be forever. And he says, if in case the hour will take place and there is another life, for indeed I'm gonna have the same thing, they say. Whatever I have now, I have it, it is mine, I deserve it, I earned it, I work hard for it, it's mine, all of these houses and all of this business and the like, that's mine. In case, as some people say, the hour will be established, then I'm gonna have the same thing, because this is my stuff. You see how people think? Alhamdulillah for guidance toward Islam. ثم يعقب سبحانه على ذلك بأنه لا بد أن يوقف هذا وأمثاله من الكافرين على حقيقة أعمالهم الشنيعة ويجازيهم عليها بأشد العقوب. But Allah mentioned in the end of the ayah that these people who think like this, who do not thank Allah, do not attribute these favors and blessings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the bestower of all things. أَيْنَعَمْ وَمَا بِكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at any favor and any blessing you enjoy. Any blessing, health, sound mind, intellect, being able to move your hands and fingers. Some people can't even do that. Being able to taste, being able to sleep, being able to walk. And you remember when Allah tests one of us with a toothache, and you can sleep, you can eat, can go to work, can do nothing, you're just miserable, and you think that's it. You're the most miserable person on earth. And then once that pain goes away by Allah's leave, subhanahu wa ta'ala, now you're all like a strange, I don't know what you do, you have so many plans. A couple of days ago, you've shut down. So any favor you have, that ni'mah of children, ni'mah of marriage, of righteous wife, the ni'mah of amen, peace, you're secure in your house, in your family, in your business, in the land you live in, while other people, they don't have these things. Then what you do, you gotta thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are those people who deny this. They say, hey, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I work hard for this. Alright, this is for me. And nobody gave me this. Oh, man, I worked hard for it. And that's why, that's how it is. So these people who deny the ni'mah of Allah and don't give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when someone thank Allah, you first have to acknowledge that this favor is from Allah. And only Allah can give it. And you have to that should be done not only by the tongue, but also by the heart. By deeply feeling in your heart that this is from Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that you have a feeling of love and mahabba, and you humiliate yourself, and you humble actually yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's amazing, our affairs with a human being, illa man rahim Allah, except from those that Allah has mercy on them. We enjoy so many favors from Allah, but we still, some of us, grow arrogant and walk arrogant on land through our actions, our statements. We should humble ourselves all time, because we enjoy many favors from Allah. But if one human being do us a favor, one favor, not many favors, especially if that favor is big, nice, he did something nice to one of us, and then you find some of us, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ, except from those Allah has mercy of them, whenever they see that person, they humble themselves in front of him. Let's say someone, for example, going through some hardship. Maybe one of his loved ones being locked up, for example, and he needs to be bailed out. But they ask for a lot of money, I don't know how much, 100,000, 300, a million, and then here's his brother put that cash, that money, that he may lose. And he get now that so and so, now he's with his parents and not in jail. He's in his bedroom and he's eating that nice lunch or dinner or whatever that his mother cooked for. And now you find that parent or whatever, whenever they see that person who helped them, they humble themselves. I don't, the way they look at him, they put their heads down. Yes, subhanAllah. And now in front of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who bestow upon us all of these bounties, we find certain people grow arrogant. And they think that no, this is all from them. They worked hard. He has two masters and he's preparing another one. And that's why he got what he got. Who gave you the intellect for you to solve that math problem? Some people don't have that. They don't even know who their names are. Who gave them the strength and the ability and the zeal? Who gave them through all the difficulties? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the end of the ayah that He will bring those such people who deny the favors of Allah. And yes, worse, denied the day of judgment. Okay? Allah will bring them to account and He will reward them the worst reward according to those despicable acts that they perpetrated and performed in this life, and Allah has prepared for them the worst punishment. May you step further in the ayah. What are some of the benefits of this verse? Now, I'm listening to you now, inshallah. What is some of the benefits of this ayah?
Be thankful and grateful for Allah.
No.
Be thankful and grateful to Allah, not to be arrogant.
Ahsan. To be grateful and?
Thankful to Allah.
I know. To be thankful and grateful. No. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahsan. That we should remember Allah in the times of hardship as in a time of ease as well. Now, everything, you made eye contact.
Everything that we receive is a ni'mah from Allah.
Ayna, all the good things that's happening to you and the things you enjoy, that's from Allah. These are bounties from Allah, and therefore
He deserves our worship and thanks for it.
Ahsan. Therefore we have to thank Him subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. We thank Allah for that. Now you can write these ones. Jazakum Allah khair for your contribution. Number one, wujubu shukr ni'mati Allah wa i'tirafi bi annaha minhu wahdahu. It is an obligation to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just an option, it's an obligation to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His bounties, and to acknowledge that they come only from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the hadith of when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving those golden advice to Ibn Abbas. He said to him, And you should know that if the ummah, all the people, they all gather together to benefit you with anything, they will only benefit you with what? With that which they can come together with? Huh? With that which Allah has decreed for you. Nobody can benefit. All the people of China and Russia and Japan and Korea and Indonesia and I don't know, and all Asia, huh? And Africa and Europe and North America, South America and Costa Rica and all of them, all right? Then they will never be able to give you anything. Unless if Allah has decreed for you. In the same way, nobody can take anything from you or harm you with anything, even if they all gather together to do that. Unless if Allah has all decreed that for you. Ayna. ثانيا تحريم العجب والاغترار بالحول والقوة. Pride and being arrogant and deceived and boast with your strength and your skills, that's forbidden. That's forbidden. If a person running around and I got this because of me, because of my skill, you put forward the means. Of course, you gotta make some means. You gotta study, you gotta learn skills, you gotta put the effort, okay? This doesn't mean that person just sit back and if Allah wants something for me, it's gonna happen. No, you gotta follow some means. This is the proper understanding. You follow the means that are permissible, not any means. But then whatever happened to you is by Allah's leave, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thalithan, wujub al-iman bi qiyam as-sa'ah. Believing in the establishment of the hour is what? Is wujubu, is obligatory. Is an obligation. It's obligatory to believe in the establishment of the hour. It's not like it may happen, it may not happen. No, it's iman. We believe that the hour will take place. Rabi'an, number 4, wujub al-khawfi min adhabi Allahi fil akhirah. Likewise, it is obligatory to be afraid of the punishment of Allah that He has prepared for certain people in the hereafter. Gotta be afraid of that. Because none of us has any guarantees. Yeah. Reality is, some people will be punished in Yawm al-Qiyamah, in the hellfire. So anyone here has a guarantee that he's not? That he's not from those people? So why are we laughing and gigging all like we got it, we made it? So you gotta humble ourselves. And whenever you hear these things, you're like, man, subhanAllah, I don't even know what's going to happen to me. Now you're going to have fun and go watch a ball game. You're going to say, I'm going to go read some more Quran. I'm going to spend some more time with my parents, calling them to Islam. Or calling them to Sunnah. I'm going to visit some sick people. I'm going to help somebody. I'm going to read chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed. I'm going to help my brother. I'm going to spend some quality time with the righteous people. Because you don't know if you're going to make it or not. خَامِسًا وَعِيدُ مَنْ كَفَرَ بِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ. That Allah has prepared a severe warning for and a threat for those who disbelieve in the ni'mah of Allah. They don't thank Allah for it. Allah gave it to them, but they grow arrogant. They don't even thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what they have. But the believer, thank Allah for everything. You get that paycheck and say, Alhamdulillah, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because you got 3 masters and 2 PhDs. Now those are means now that put you in there because you put some effort. But only from Allah. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why when you get up, you can make dua. So you're thanking Allah. Who allow you to get up. Some people can't get up. Some people, they die. They want to wake them up, they're gone. How many times may happen to you? You want to get up and your back, you can't even move your neck. You can't. Aina. You can't drive. Aina. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه هذا حديث طويل سأقرأه بالعربي ثم بالإنجليزي. It's a long hadith, a little bit, not a lot, just two pages almost. نعم. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن ثلاثة من بني إسرائيل أبرص وأقرع وأعمى فأراد الله أن يبتليهم فبعث إليهم ملكا فأتى الأبرص فقال أي شيء أحب إليك؟ قال لون حسن وجلد حسن ويذهب عني الذي قد قذرني الناس به. قال فمسحه فذهب عنه قذره فأعطي لونا حسنا وجلدا حسنا. قال فأي المال أحب إليك؟ قال الإبل أو البقر. شك إسحاق وهو ابن عبد الله بن أبي طلحة راوي الحديث. فأعطي ناقة عشراء وقال بارك الله لك فيها. قال فأتى الأقرع فقال أي شيء أحب إليك؟ قال شعر حسن ويذهب عني الذي قد قذرني الناس به. فمسحه فذهب عنه وأعطي شعرا حسنا. فقال أي المال أحب إليك؟ قال البقر أو الإبل. فأعطي بقرة حاملة. قال بارك الله لك فيها. فأتى الأعمى فقال أي شيء أحب إليك؟ قال أن يرد الله إلي بصري فأبصر به الناس. فمسحه فرد الله إليه بصره. قال فأي المال أحب إليك؟ قال الغنم. فأعطي شاة والدا فأنتج هذان وولد هذا فكان لهذا واد من الإبل ولهذا واد من البقر ولهذا واد من الغنم. قال ثم إنه أتى الأبرص في صورته وهيئته فقال رجل مسكين قد انقطعت به الحبال في سفري فلا بلاغ لليوم إلا بالله ثم بك. أسألك بالذي أعطاك اللون الحسن والجلد الحسن والمال بعيرا أتبلغ به في سفري. فقال الحقوق كثيرة. فقال له كأني أعرفك ألم تكن أبرص يقدرك الناس؟ فقيل فأعطاك الله عز وجل المال؟ فقال إنما ورثت هذا المال كابرا عن كابر. فقال إن كنت كاذبا فسيرك الله إلى ما كنت. وأتى الأقرع في صورته فقال له مثل ما قال لهذا ورد عليه مثل ما رد عليه هذا. فقال إن كنت كاذبا فسيرك الله إلى ما كنت. قال وأتى الأعمى في صورته فقال رجل مسكين وابن سبيل قد انقطعت بي الحبال في سفري فلا بلاغ لليوم إلا بالله ثم بك. أسألك بالذي رد عليك بصرك شاة أتبلغ بها في سفري. فقال قد كنت أعمى فرد الله إلي بصري فخذ ما شئت ودع ما شئت فوالله لا أجهدك بشيء أخذته لله. فقال أمسك مالك فإنما ابتليتم فقد رضي الله عنك وسخط على صاحبيك. أخرجاه يعني أخرجه الإمام البخاري ومسلم رحمهم الله. عبد الله بن زيد في الأرمان. شيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى, he brought as a proof this hadith that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim رحمهم الله on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه that he heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, this is a story about three men, they were tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says once there were three men from the children of Israel, a leper, a blind man, and a bald man. A bald man who has lost part of his hair or all of it, whom Allah wanted to test. So He subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel to them. The angel asked the leper, what would you most like to have? What would you most like to have? The leper said, good complexion and good skin. Because the people consider me to be filthy. People, they don't want to be around him. So, then the angel touched him and he was cured. So now here in the English translation, says he touched him and he was cured. But in the Arabic it says he was given a good complexion and beautiful skin. Okay? So notice that. So he was given, and it's in here, alhamdulillah, he was given a good complexion and a good skin. So that was given by who? By the angel? By Allah. By Allah. Now, so that's why I want you to focus on this one, okay? It's the key. Now, then the angel said, which property would you most like to have? The leper said, camels. Or cows. Okay? Because here they didn't translate that one. It says, Sheikh Karrawi. The narrator doubted which one he says, camels or cows. So he was given a pregnant camel. And the angel said, may Allah bless you with it. Then the angel came to the bald man and said, what would you most like to have? He says, nice hair, and I wish to be cured from this disease because people find me repulsive. The angel touched him and he was So the angel touched him and he was given a nice hair. Then the angel said, which property would you most like to have? He says, cows. So the angel gave him a pregnant cow that had plenty of milk. The angel said to him, may Allah bless you with it. Make dua for them. The angel came to the blind man and said, what would you most like to have? He says, I wish Allah would restore my sight so I can see the people. He touched his eyes and Allah gave him his sight back. The angel said, which property would you most like to have? He said, sheep. So the angel gave him a pregnant sheep. Later, after a while, all three pregnant animals gave birth to their young. Later, they multiplied and brought forth so many animals, so many, that one of the men had a herd of camels filling a valley. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. And one had a herd of cows filling a valley. And the other one had a flock of sheep filling a valley. Then, after that, when they have all this abundance of wealth, alhamdulillah, Allah cured them. They got from Allah what they wish and what they wanted. Okay? And that restored their makana and their place amongst the people. Now the people want to be around them and this. Now here is the test coming. Okay? The test is coming right now. Then the angel disguised to appear as a leper. No, he came as a leper. Subhan, look at the test, ya. He went to the one who used to be like as a leper. And he came to him as a leper. Okay? He appeared, disguised to appear as a leper, visited the leper and said, I am a poor man who has lost all means of livelihood while on a journey. So none will satisfy my need except Allah and then you, in the name of Him who has given you such nice complexion. SubhanAllah. He's reminding him of the favors of Allah. In the name of the one who has given you such nice complexion, such beautiful skin, and so much property, I ask you to give me, did he say half? All of it? One. So they ask you to give me a camel so that I may reach my destination. I mean, use it to reach my destination. You would think now the man should do what? Say, take what you want. Take what you want. One is not enough. Take ten. No. The man replied, I have many obligations, man. Cannot assist you. Sorry, man. I got too many things going on. I can't help you today. He turned him down. He asked only for one. He didn't ask for all of it or half of it. The angel said to him, I think I know you. I think I know you. Were you not a leper who the people shunned? Weren't you a poor man, and then Allah gave this to you? Now you think after this man will say, Astaghfirullah, you're right. A'udhu billah, subhanallah, shaitan got me. My nafs got me, a'udhu billah, this is, subhanallah, you're right. Astaghfirullah, how do you know? At least, huh? No, this man continued. He replied, I inherited this from my family. Lies. You see? Being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I inherited this from my family. The angel said, if you are lying, then let Allah make you as you were before. Subhanallah. Then the angel, disguised as a bald man, went to the bald man and said the same as he had to the leper. He too answered the same way, subhanAllah. Same way. No, never been... Never been bald, man. No. You got the wrong man. You're like in our terms. You're talking about somebody else. It's not me. Why don't you check the next village? You may find your man there in our terms. Like, that's not me. You ain't talking about me. La hawla la quwwata illa billah. Instead to be grateful to Allah and say, yes, you're right, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that was me. And all this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he too answered the same way. The angel told him, if you are lying, then let Allah make you as you were before, subhanAllah. Then the angel disguised as a blind man. Now he came to them, every one of them came to them as in his form, in his previous natural form. So he came as a blind man, visited the blind man and said, I am a poor man and a traveler, whose means of livelihood have been exhausted while on a journey. I ran out, man, I got nothing right now. I have nobody to help me except Allah and then you, and after him, you yourself. I ask you in the name, look, subhanAllah, he reminded them of the name of Allah. I ask you in the name of him, meaning of Allah, who has given you back your eyesight, to give me a sheep, so that with its help, I may complete my journey. The man said, this man here, the third man, Allah wants good for him. You see? And he passed the test. The man said, I was once blind. He didn't say, I don't know what you're talking about, man. You know? He said, I was once blind, and Allah returned my sight to me. I was once poor, and Allah made me rich. So take anything you like from what I have, Allahu Akbar. By Allah, I will not praise you for leaving anything you need of my property, which you may take for Allah's sake. Meaning, take anything you want, man. The angel replied, keep your property. You three men have been tested. Allah is pleased with you, but he is angry with your two companions. This hadith is recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah. The general meaning of this hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله يخبر صلى الله عليه وسلم عن هؤلاء الثلاثة الذين أصيب كل منهم بعاهة في الجسم وفقر من المال. شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى says that in this hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us about these three men, that each one of them was afflicted by deformity and defects, a bodily defect in their bodies. And with that, they were poor also. So they were afflicted in their bodies and in wealth as well. They have defects that make people don't want to be around them. Okay? And they poor as well. ثم إن الله سبحانه أراد أن يختبرهم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to put them to test. فأزال ما أصابهم من العاهات وأدر عليهم الأموال. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured them from that which they suffered from, and give them beautiful things as they wish, and give them a lot of wealth, make them wealthy. And that's what brings the lot of people. Now you're healthy and mashallah and you got money, people want to be around you. Ala ayyin, as the ulama they mentioned, their affairs changed, turned around, as we say. Instead of they were on a corner, margin, nobody wants to talk to them, nobody wants to associate with them, now they got things going on. Okay? ثم أرسل إلى كل واحد منهم الملك بهيئته الأولى من المرض والقرع والعمى والفقر يستجديه شيئا يسيرا. Then after a while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to each one of them the angel in the same form that person was upon before Allah cured them and gave them all their wealth as a test to see how they going to act? Are they going to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or are they going to be ungrateful? So he sent an angel to the leper, but the angel came to him as a leper and as a poor, exactly as he was before. And he went to the bowl as a bowl and as a poor, exactly how he was before. And to the blind, same way. He went to him as a blind and a poor man, exactly how he was before. Allah cured him and gave him all that bounty. This is very important for us, ikhwan. Sometimes somebody comes for help and we forget. Like we don't know that a couple years ago we were in dire need and we had to go and ask somebody. And they turned us down and you go back home and the wife says, you got anything? I don't know what's wrong with these brothers. You see? Subhanallah, I asked like 10 of them. Well, everybody say, look, man, I can't do nothing for you, man. You see? But now, after a while, Allah gave you abundance of wealth, so when the people come to you, what are you going to do? Do the same thing? I don't know you, man. I got nothing for you. I worked hard, man. You've been sleeping, running around. You know how many hours I put forward in the math courses, and man, I got masters, brother. You were playing around. Man, I worked hard. You know how many coffees, man? Starbucks, man. I put a lot of money in there. Man, you know, stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning doing all the math problems and the physics. Now you're gonna come and ask me for my money? Money that I worked hard for, man, go get yourself a job or something. Instead to say, subhanAllah, don't worry about it, man. I used to be worse than you, man. I used to be in a condition like that. Alhamdulillah, what you need, man? I need 100. Give him 500. Hey, subhanAllah. Like Al-Layth ibn Sa'd. He was one of the contemporary of Imam Malik and Shafi'i. Actually, Imam al-Shafi'i wanted to go and study under him, but Imam al-Layth, he died. Al-Layth ibn Sa'd, he was so generous. Subhanallah. That Imam Malik, he was visited in Medina. Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd, he used to reside in Misr, in Egypt. And Imam Malik, he was in Medina. That one of the students of al-Layth ibn Sa'd, when they go for Umrah or Hajj, they pass, when they visit Medina, they gotta stay. So Imam Layth ibn Sa'd, he sent with them some letters on some masail. He said, ask Imam Malik about this. I do disagree with him. Ask him where he brought these rulings. So look at the ulama. You know, he wants to know, where you bring these rulings, because I couldn't see it the way you see it. So then the students will bring back the answer. Oh, Imam Malik says because of this, because of this hadith, because of this. And then, look, subhanAllah, the adab. Not like, oh, what he says? Oh, he didn't know about it. But then Imam Malik sent a dish full of date of Medina with the students. He said, take this to your Imam. Allahu Akbar. Look at the karam. A date. What did Layth ibn Sa'd did? He sent it back filled with gold. he was wealthy, Layth ibn Sa'd. Allah gave him a lot of wealth, but he never paid zakat. Because he always give it away. He always give it away. Give it away. You don't pay zakat, mean that he refused the zakat. He never matched the nisab. When it's time for zakat, he had to give everything. Sadaqah. Not hold into it and some shoe box. I don't know. You don't even know which one it is. Tell one of his kids, hey, recycling day. The kid grabbed the shoe box that have the money. Yeah, because he didn't tell nobody, you know, in the house. Nobody knew what he's doing. You see? And another story, Layth ibn Sa'd, he was in his gatherings, the circle of knowledge, and then somebody said, yeah, Imam, this lady, poor lady with some children, and she wants some honey. And she wants just, she asked, for example, like, a gallon or something, or half. He says, give her 10. She's like, one of them said, yes, sir. She asked only for one. So you're going to give her 10? He says she asked in according to her level of understanding things. Because 1 gallon to her is a lot. But to me it's not. So I'm going to give her what I think is okay for me to give. You see how it is? See how these people, that's why they are our self. The lady, she asked for example, a gallon of honey. And at that time, honey was scarce. Couldn't even find it. Well, usually people who, their minds into the dunya, if they have a lot of honey, and honey is not to be found in the market, what usually they do? They sell it for a lot of money. Right or wrong? I'm the only one who got honey. A gallon used to be $100, now it's $1,500. Now, why? Why not? Go find it somewhere else. There is no somewhere else. Okay, it's 2,000 now. You still bargain with me? We're going to make it 2,500? You see, that's how people do mentality, dunya. So this is what we learn, ya akhwan, the akhlaq. If your brother come to you, and you know him, and he's going through some hardship, and say, can I hold 100? What would you do? How much you give him? 500. How much would you give? He's the one who says, subhanAllah, this is my brother. He has children. He has a rent to pay. He lost his job. He's going through hardship. He's asking for 100. Ask yourself a question. What 100 is going to do to him? 100? The rent is more than 100. And the bills, even electric bill is more than $100. So what? You ask yourself, if you are that person that have children, and you go to someone else for 100, and then, how you were like, 100? Give him 1,000. So now, not only some people you get, they ask for 100, they be given $5. Akhi, can I, they say, even say, can I borrow 100? Oh yeah, so bad, my brother. Give him $5. Akhi, that's all I have, brother. That's all I have, man. If you don't want it, I can. If you don't want it, don't. And I'll be back by Thursday. I was talking to him Wednesday after Isha. Nah. So we learn from this, ikhwan. We learn. These are for us to learn. Barakallahu feekum. So this angel, he went to them and said, look, he didn't ask for everything. He reminded them of the ni'mah of Allah. And he wants only almost nothing from them. Can you imagine a valley of camels? You know how many camels are there? That same person who said, no, I have nothing for you. If one camel stray away, he don't even notice. If a camel just went away or somebody come and take a camel, would he know? He has a valley of camels, ya Khwan. It's not like he has two and one is gone. He's like, hey, where's the other one? They have a lot. So to give one, and for the sake of Allah, the one who restored all that for him, he's like, no, no way, man. Got nothing for you. Walayyadu billah. لكن الأعمى اعترف بنعمة الله عليه ونسبها إلى من أنعم عليه بها. The two first, they deny the favor of Allah. But who passed the test? The blind. The blind one.
The one who couldn't see.
The blind, the one who couldn't see then. Because now, alhamdulillah, he's not blind anymore. So he passed the test. He recognized the favor of Allah, the blessing upon Allah, of Allah, and he attributed to Allah. He said, this is all from Allah. There ain't nothing from me. I used to be blind once too. Not only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His bounty restored my sight, but also He gave me all this. I used to be poor. And for someone to be rich now and to say he used to be poor, because usually those rich people, they're arrogant, very wrong. Some of them, they're so arrogant, they don't even recognize their families. When his mother come at the door and she still doesn't look that prestigious mother and driving, and they say, hey, your mother. He's like, oh, no, that's not my mother. And then later on, he's going to go and scold her, hey, don't you ever come to my office like that. Why don't you come? Didn't I send you? Did I send you money? Why you come to my office? A'udhu billah. Some people are like that. They don't even want to know to be from a village. Some change their names. I know. Because they are from a village, and that village in that area, for example, they know to be poor, about nobody, you know. And they don't even change their name. He is not from that village. Grow arrogant, walayyadu billah. But the blind, the one who used to be blind, he says, listen, man, I used to be blind and poor. And all what you see is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why he deserved, what he deserved from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah was pleased with him, and Allah was not pleased with the others. He was angry with the others, walayyadu billah. Munasabatul hadithi lilbab, anna fihi bayana hali man kafara ni'ama wa man shakaraha. The relevance of this hadith to the chapter that in it is the hukum, the ruling, the ruling on those who deny the favors of Allah and those who give thanks to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما يستفاد من الحديث, number one, the benefits, وجوب شكر النعمة في المال وأداء حق الله فيه. It is obligatory to thank Allah for His favors, especially in wealth. And you gotta give the rights, sadaq, zakat and sadaq and the like. Thaniyan, number two, tahrimu kufr al-ni'mati wa man'i haqq Allahi fil mal. Likewise, the opposite is true. It is strictly forbidden to deny the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to deny those who deserve from it. Ayna. ثالثا جواز ذكر حال من مضى من الأمم ليتعظ به من سمعه. It is permissible to mention from the affairs of the previous nations in a way of admonition and drawing lessons from what they went through. Right now. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he telling us not about some of the people in his time from the Bani Israel, from before, from رابعا أن الله يختبر عباده بالنعم. That Allah tests His servants. Number four, benefit number four, by ni'am. Good things that you have, that's a ni'am. Try it for you, it's a test. أي نعم, it's a test. خامسا مشروعية القول بالله ثم بك فيكون العطف بكم ولا بالواو في مثل هذا التعبير. It is legislated and okay to say with Allah then with you. Okay, like I seek Allah's help then, not and. And remember, we have a chapter. We have a chapter for that. Alhamdulillah. And we learned that yet it is permissible to say by Allah then you, not and. And is not permissible because that entails shirk. But still, it's the better to say is by Allah. Attribute the ni'am to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then thank the people who come to your help. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who are grateful.
Ameen.
To Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who thank Him for His favors, and many are the favors of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us against our wicked souls and mischief of our deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our hearts from all defects. And especially from pride and arrogance, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us humble and thankful to Him. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasleeman kathira.